All right, Psalm chapter 7. I want to talk to you about integrity tonight. Integrity is considered to be, it means to be morally upright. That's what integrity, it means to be morally complete. It has the idea of moral innocence. It is the opposite of compromise and hypocrisy. If you take those words, the opposite of that is integrity, all right? And so we want to look at some things about it. Number one tonight, why is integrity important? Well, what does the Bible say? Look at Psalm chapter 7 and look at verse 8. It says, "The Lord shall judge the people." He says, "Judge me, O Lord, according to my." Take your pen and circle that little pronoun, my. O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to mine, circle that word, mine, integrity that is in me. Why is integrity important? Because from this we learn, number one, integrity defines to others who we are. You are what your integrity is. That's who you are, really. And so the psalmist says, Lord, he said, judge me according to my righteousness and according to my integrity that is in me. Integrity is who you really are, what you really are, when the lights are out, when nobody's looking. That's what your integrity is, all right? Why is integrity so important? Integrity defines to others who we are. Now turn to the book of Job. Go back to the left to the book of Job. And look at what it says in Job chapter 2. Job chapter 2. Job has, you remember, is being tried. Satan has accused Job of serving God only because he's a hireling. God pays him. God blesses him to serve him. Anybody would serve you, God, if you did for them what you've done for Job. But you let me take a few of those things away from Job, and he'll turn on you, God, overnight. He'll curse your name. And God said, that's not so. And the devil said, let me at him. I'll prove it so. So Job is going through this struggle. He doesn't understand what's happened to him, but we do, because Scripture takes us behind the scene. So look at it in Job chapter 2. And look what it says in verse 3. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect, upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his, circle that word, his personal integrity. Although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. Now from this we learn, why is integrity important? Number two, integrity determines how you will react in certain situations where you have choices to do right or wrong. It is your integrity that will call the shot. Are you listening to me? As you face challenges, and we all do, as you face things that happen to you, some rightfully and some things that are wrongfully, things that are done to you that ought not be done. You make the call. You make the choice on how you're going to react to that. You can throw a wild-eyed fit and absolutely just show yourself to be what you are. Or you can choose to overlook the matter. You can choose to be kind and gracious. You can be hateful and you can be mean. You know what makes the call, which way you go? It's your integrity. And when you're lacking in integrity, you can't handle your emotions. I mean, you're just on the edge. You're ready to give somebody a piece of your mind the first time they'd upset you. First time they don't do. When your integrity is lacking, you can't control yourself. And because of your lack of integrity, you're constantly having to apologize, having to go back and try to make up what you messed up because of integrity. Integrity, it determines how you will react in certain situations where you have choices to do right or wrong. Are you listening to me? Why is integrity important? You know, you can be the best spokesman that God ever had. I mean, you can talk a fence post into getting saved. But if you don't have integrity, you will wind up causing far more damage to the cause of Christ than anybody else just because you don't have personal integrity. Integrity makes the call. Everybody feels sometimes that they're wronged. Everybody feels sometimes that this is not the right thing to do. But how do you handle that? Integrity makes the difference. All right? So why is integrity important? I mean, here was Job. Job doesn't understand why this is happening to him. He went from having everything he touched, the Midas touch, it all turned to gold. Beautiful family. He is financially completely independent and secure. He has been successful in his business. He has been a good Christian. So everything is right. All of a sudden, all of that turns against him. And he's the same guy today as he was yesterday. He hasn't gone out and done anything to bring this on that he knows. So, what do you do? What would you do? Would you have a need to maybe get with somebody and tell people how God's let you down? God hadn't come through? Would you feel a little bitterness, perhaps? I mean, again, he didn't lose a few bucks. He lost his kids. 10 children dead. There's not a person in this room. You don't even know how you'd handle that. But Job, the Bible says, in all of this, never charged God foolishly. Why? Because he had integrity. Integrity determines how you will react in certain situations where you have choices. You can react in the right way or in the wrong way. It is integrity that caused that shot. Genesis chapter 20. Why is integrity so important? Turn to Genesis chapter 20. Look at Genesis chapter 20 and verse 5 and 6. Now, this is the story of Abraham. Now, Abraham, how many would say Abraham was a great man of God? All right? But even good Christians can sometimes have lack of integrity, moral uprightness. Abraham is noticed or looked at as being the father of what? Faith. By faith, he left the land and went to a new land he'd never even seen. You know, Satan, oftentimes, we talk about how he attacks us at the point of our weakest points. But oftentimes, Satan attacks us where we're the strongest. You know why? Because we're not watching that window. That's one we're not worried about. We're strong there. And it's when you think you stand is where you better be careful. Abraham arrives here in among the Philistines. And when he does, there was a king there. Abimelech, and it's amazing how sometimes we fail to learn. You remember what he did down in Egypt? What did he tell the Pharaoh about his wife? She's my sister. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's no pictures of Sarah. But now, that she had to be one good-looking woman. Because everywhere he goes, he just knows that the king of all of the women of the whole country, if he lays one eye on my wife, he's going to want her if it means killing me. So Abraham, one thing for sure, Sarah had him convinced she was the prettiest thing he's ever seen. But he walks in there and he tells her, now look, if the king asks you, you tell him you're my sister. And it was kind of a little half-truth there. So you tell her you're my sister. And sure enough, the king saw her and he wanted her to be his wife. But the Bible tells us that God prevented that. Now he gets into the land, same thing again. Change the name, same old story over again. He didn't learn nothing. But look at it. Look at it. Verse 3. Abraham said, verse 2, he said to Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, the king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. I mean, hey, if she's available, man, I want her for a wife. So he sends for her. But look at verse 3. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man. You're a dead man, Abimelech. Wow. That'd wake you up, wouldn't it? You're a dead man walking. For the woman which thou hast taken, she is a man's wife. You're about to commit adultery. And Abimelech had not come near her yet. And he said, Lord, wilt thou slay a righteous nation? He said, not unto me. He didn't tell me that she's his wife. He told me she's my sister. And he said, and even she herself said, he's my brother. Now look at this. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. God, I've done it, but I did not know. You look at me. You look inside of me. You look at my integrity. And you know it's true. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thine heart. For I also, and it's interesting, underline this, I also withheld thee from sinning against me. We are going to be amazed when we get to heaven. How many things that you didn't do, and maybe you credited yourself because you've got such restraint, only to find out you would have done it. But God intervened on your behalf and kept you from doing what you naturally, physically would have done. The guy says it. I withheld thee from sinning against me. Had God not withheld him, he would have done this. God intervened. I wonder just how much God puts a hedge around us and keeps us from doing things we would have never dreamed we would have done. It's not because we're such good Christians. It's because God has helped protect us from being in that situation. How many of you see that in Scripture? Do you see that? You want to be sure you pray, and you want to pray daily. God, keep me from sin. Keep me from it. You want God's protection. You want God to keep you from being in that situation just to find out whether or not you're strong enough. Abimelech was not strong enough. Had God not intervened and put that hedge around him and protected him from it, he would have given in. And you and I need God's protection around us to keep us from ever being in that situation. But it's interesting to see this. He says, because the integrity of my heart. I want you to notice that from this, we learn number 3, integrity demonstrates your spiritual condition. And a lack of integrity reveals a spiritual problem. Your integrity demonstrates your spiritual condition. A lack of integrity reveals a spiritual problem. If you're seeing things in your life and you're seeing consistent failures, there is an integrity problem in your heart. There's an integrity problem in your life. Integrity demonstrates your spiritual condition, and a lack of integrity reveals a spiritual problem. All right? Turn to 1 Kings chapter 9. Why is integrity important? 1 Kings chapter 9. We're just having Bible study tonight. Amen? 1 Kings chapter 9. Solomon has, David wanted to build the temple that was in David's heart. However, God never allowed David to build the temple. But because it was in David's heart, God rewarded David as though he did build it. And God said to him, David, I'm going to let you build it through your son Solomon. So when David realized that God was not going to let him build the temple, then David did everything he could to make it possible for his son to do that. And when you read in 1 Chronicles chapters 28 and 29, you'll read a wonderful passage how that God used the willingness of the people to give. And David led by giving an enormous amount from his own estate to the temple. And the people gave so much to the temple, to the building of that temple, that they had to be restrained from giving. They just wanted to give to this. And so David said, my son Solomon is going to lead. And Solomon is young, and like most fathers, he didn't believe, he wasn't sure his son had enough sense to come in out of the rain. So David is trying to, he said, look, he's young and tender. But David laid all of this out for this to be done. But I want you to notice what it says about integrity in 1 Kings chapter 9, and look in verses 4 and 5. He says, and if thou wilt walk before me. Now, Solomon has now come before God. Remember, Solomon prayed for a double portion of wisdom. Didn't ask for great finances. He asked for and God said, because you've not asked for these resources, I'm going to grant both. And Solomon is now praying, and he's asking God to bless this building that they've built for him. And he says, and if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked in integrity of heart and in uprightness to do according to all that I have commanded thee and will keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. So notice from this, number four, integrity pleases God. Integrity. He said, because of your uprightness, if you'll walk in the integrity. Turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles 29. It is describing this, the temple, as the resources were brought in. 1 Chronicles 29. And look again, verse 17. David is praising God. He said, I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. Uprightness is integrity, moral integrity. Thou hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. So David said, it's in my heart. I have given generously because of the uprightness of my heart. And the people here are giving generously because of the uprightness of their heart. Notice again, integrity pleases God. Say that with me. Integrity pleases God. All right? Why is integrity important? Now, number two, what will integrity do for me? What will integrity do for me? Turn to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. What will integrity do for me? Integrity means moral uprightness. If I am genuinely trying to be upright in my personal life, in my personal doings? What will that get me? You know, the world teaches that Christians are suckers. You're fools. You're suckers that are born to be taken advantage of. Because you think you're supposed to turn the other cheek. Well, I'm glad. Go ahead and turn it while I take your stuff. That's what the world thinks. The world thinks we're idiots. All right? But God doesn't view it that way at all. God views integrity, moral purity, being a tremendous asset, and it pleases Him. So what will integrity do for me? Proverbs chapter 20, look at verse 7. The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. From this we learn, number one, integrity will bless your life. You know, Peter talks about, in our studies on 1 Peter, about making sure that when you suffer, that your suffering is for righteous sake. Don't suffer because you've been an evildoer. Now, we're going to deal with that in our Sunday night message a little while. But he's telling us that we're going to have Holy Spirit protection when we suffer for righteous sake. But if you've been out doing stuff you shouldn't be doing, you can't claim that same protection. It's not going to be available. So the Bible tells us that when we've got integrity, integrity will bless our life. You're going to have... What does the word bless mean? To make happy, what? Or gratify. It's going to bring good things to you. So instead of the world saying you're a sucker if you're that morally goody-two-shoe guy, God says not so. Right the opposite. Good things are going to come your way. Integrity will bless your life. Number two, turn to Job 31. Turn back again to the left, Psalms, then Job, and look at verse chapter 31. Job 31. Talking about integrity. What will integrity do for me? Job verse 31. Now remember, Job is going through all this and he doesn't know why. All he knows is that terrible things are happening to him. And in his day, they believed that if something bad happens to you, it's because you've been bad. Fess up. Bad things do not happen to good people. So if something bad's happened to you, it's because you're a jerk and you're not willing to admit it. And so you remember that Job had some buddies that came and they, for a week, they just sat and looked at him. Didn't say nothing. How would that make you feel? You know, just stared at him. Then when they started talking, it was better off when they were just staring at him. Because all three of them were basically saying the same thing. Job, you deserve what you've got. You need to fess up. So Job was saying, if I've done something, I don't know it. Job, you've done it and you know it. So you need to talk about it. Quit accusing God of something when you've deserved this. So look at Job at verse 36. He says, let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity. Instead of stacking this thing, coming to me that I'm guilty of all of this, let it just be an even thing before God and let God see what my integrity is. All right? So from this we learn, what will integrity do for me? Integrity will judge your actions. Integrity will judge your actions. You know, if you are real on the inside, your conscience is so accurate. You know, your conscience can be seared, can it? It can become ineffective. You can become so morally opposite of having integrity that your conscience no longer even deals with you on it because you've seared it. But if your conscience is right, if your moral uprightness is where it ought to be, your conscience is spot on, and it doesn't take much. And boy, at church, I mean, boy, does it ever work you over, church. When we read the Word of God, it speaks to us, doesn't it? And there's not a one of us have arrived, have we? Every time you read Scripture, if you're morally upright, it makes you feel like, boy, I got a long way yet to go, doesn't it? And so, what will integrity do for me? It will judge my actions. Boy, it will make you, the moment you get a bad attitude, your integrity will cause you to feel so guilty. The moment you have opened your mouth inappropriately, you will feel so guilty. The moment you are dishonest, you will feel guilty. The moment you are immoral in your thoughts, you will feel guilty. If you have got moral integrity, it's going to judge your thoughts and your words and the way you behave. Amen? And so Job was saying, judge my actions by my integrity. Turn to Psalm 25. Psalm 25. What will integrity do for me? Psalm 25. Now look at verse 21. He says, let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Do you know what the best home defense system there is? It's integrity. Far more dangerous to your home is your lack of integrity. You can go buy all of these defense systems and put bars on your windows and put things that's going to call the police station and all of that, and there are certainly situations where those you might need those in your home. I'm all for home protection, but I'm telling you, the greatest threat to your home is your lack of integrity. Let me tell you, the best bodyguard you can take with you is integrity. He says, let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Integrity, number three, from this we learn, integrity will protect you. Integrity will protect you. It'll protect you from getting into trouble. It will protect you from losing your home. It will protect your marriage. It will protect your safety. Integrity. If we would just walk the walk. Amen. And not 5 days of the week, or not 3 weeks out of the month, or not 11 months out of the year. But if every day we actually walked and lived this Bible, that integrity would protect us from 90% of the things that cause us pain. Integrity will protect you. Turn to look at Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. Now look at verse 3. Proverbs 11 and verse 3. It says, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. From this we learn, what will integrity do for you? Integrity will guide you. You see, if integrity is guiding you, you will stay away from the bars. It will guide your foot another direction. If integrity is guiding you, you're not going to go to a party where you know there's going to be drugs and alcohol and all the stuff that goes with that. If integrity is guiding you, you're not going there. if integrity is in guiding you, you're not going to be going out here to a gambling casino. If integrity is guiding you, you're not going to be involved in promiscuity. If integrity is guiding you, it's going to keep you away from all of those places that are pitfalls for so many. Amen? So, integrity. What will integrity do for me? It will guide you into the safe zones. Folks, there's enough landmines in life. You need to know where the safe zones are. And integrity will guide you through those safe zones and keep you out of the minefields. All right? Number three, how do I get integrity? Well, what does the Bible say? Turn to Psalm 26. Psalm 26. How do I get integrity? I see what you mean, preacher. I see how important it is, and I sure want this. But how do I do this? Look at what it says. How do I get it? Psalm 26, verse 1. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Notice he says, I have walked. Walked is talking about a consistency. That's his walk. When you talk about what's his walk? How does he conduct himself? From this we learn, how do I get integrity? We must pursue it with all of our heart. We must walk in it. You remember that scripture that said, commit thy way unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established? What does that mean? That means that if you will just do it because it's right, even if you don't want to, even if your heart's not in it, but it is right. And so if you'll commit to just doing it because it is right, even though that's not what you want, even though if you do it you're being a hypocrite because your heart's not in it, but if you'll just do it anyway, in time, your thoughts will be changed. And now you will be doing it because it's what you want to do. Do you see that? There are going to be times when you may lose your joy. You don't want to go to church. You don't want to go to the youth activities. You don't want to be involved in Sunday school. You're not interested in what these projects are the church is doing. To be honest, you're just hanging on by a thread. Right here's where integrity is vital. Because if you have integrity, you will do what is right, even though it is a sham. If folks knew how you really are inside right now, you would be so embarrassed. You're not there because you're excited about God. You don't even want to be there. You'd rather be at Walmart. But there's no question what is right. And so you're going to go ahead and do what's right. You do that, and after a while, that whole thing changes. And your thinking gets back on the right side again. You're there now because you love it. You don't want to be anywhere else. You can't imagine doing anything else. You have nothing but sadness for those who don't do this. But you were there where they're at 6 months ago. But the difference is they gave in to it. And you kept coming because of integrity. Are you listening to me? So how do I get integrity? You've got to pursue it. You've got to pursue it consistently, faithfully, because it is right. Do it with your heart. Walk in it, even if you don't feel it. Turn to Proverbs chapter 19. How do I get integrity? Proverbs chapter 19. Let me give you these last ones very quickly. Proverbs chapter 19. Look at verse 1. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. You know what God is saying? God is saying that if you've got integrity, you are a rich person. Amen. And you would be, you're much better off if you are so poor you can't hardly find the money to pay your rent with. But if you've got moral uprightness, if you've got moral integrity, you're much better off than the millionaire that's got five different houses and doesn't know what to do with them. So from this we learn, how do I get integrity? We must protect it as a valued treasure. Instead of looking across the street at what other people have and wishing you were there, if you've got integrity, then you have something that is priceless. Don't you let anything compromise that. Don't you let anything cause you to swap that in for what you think they have that you don't. We need to have this attitude that I may never have some of the things that others have. It may not be God's will for me ever to live in a mansion on a hilltop. Mine may always be a pup tent down the valley. But if that's what God has for you, that's okay. I'm not going to swap my integrity to get something else. I'm going to prize what God has for me. Moral uprightness, integrity is a treasure. Protect it in your heart. Number three, look at Psalm 26. Psalm 26. How do I get integrity? Psalm 26. Look at verse 11. As for me, David said, as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. In other words, he says, from this we learn, we need to practice it in all of our daily doings. Walk in it. When you go to work, make sure you've got integrity at your workplace. You may be the only one there, but you know that just makes the light shine brighter. The darker the room, the brighter the light appears. You be the one with integrity, no matter what anybody else does. If you are in a marriage and you are the one that has integrity and your mate does not, you walk in your integrity. If your extended family does not have integrity, you keep your integrity. You pursue your integrity. You practice it in your family reunions. You practice that when you get together and they all break out a Budweiser the moment you get there. You practice your integrity right in front of them. You don't be a smart aleck. Just say, no, thank you. I'd really have it. Do you have some ice water? And if they press you, look, you know I'm a Christian, and you know that I believe that this is wrong. I would have to compromise to do that. I know you guys don't want me to do that. You can stand your ground, not be a smart aleck. But you stand your ground. You protect your integrity. You walk in your integrity. And your daily doings is an opportunity to practice. When it comes prom time, and you know what the kids are going to be doing at prom night, you find something else to do because of your integrity. You look for opportunities to walk in your integrity and demonstrate your integrity in your daily doings. When you come up to a stoplight and everybody's throwing a fit and giving everybody else little obscene signs, don't join them because of your integrity. All right? Let your integrity demonstrate it in your daily doings. How do I get integrity? You practice it by doing right every single day. And then lastly, again, look at Proverbs chapter 12, look at Psalm 25 and look at verse 21. Psalm 25 and verse 21, again, he said, let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. We need to pray for it. David is praying for integrity. Make it a matter of prayer. Dear God, give me personal integrity. Let me be upright, Lord, in all of my doings. Make me like you. make me more godly in how I respond to people. Make me more godly in how I treat people. Make me more godly in how I handle my life, how I handle my decisions. Make me more like you. Pray for it every day. Pray for it. Pray for God to give you integrity. Let's bow our heads tonight with every head bowed and every eye closed in the room.